Today is Father's Day. And so I take this opportunity to wish all the fathers a very happy Father's Day. As Ben goes out. What is like a father? Happy Father's Day, Ben. A little boy once was asked to define what is a Father's Day. And he said, Father's Day. Well, Father's Day is just like Mother's Day. The only difference is you spend less on presents on Father's Day. The birth of a child changes man's identity. He becomes subjected to sleep deprivation, unpredicted crying, unpredicted walking off, loss of friendship, emotional changes, special events, sports gears, expensive things, and often arguments needing intervention. All these moments are refining moments for this man that beats out his own old identity while he gets formed into something new, and that is called Father. Father is a powerful word, very reassuring word. The moment we say Father, it tells a lot. It is attached and associated with the great expectations, responsibility, and great performance. Father are meant to be good, loving, caring, supporting, providing, and nurturing. But sadly, increasingly, we hear stories of fathers who let their children down. I will not go into statistics because we all know that they are not encouraging. Once a young lady was asked about her father. And as she spoke about father, she said, I feel very angry, rejected, and abandoned by my father. He left my mom before I was born. He only paid child support because he had to legally do that. Never showed any kind of attachment or any love to me. I've only seen him few times in my 35 years of life. I hate him, and I will never ever shed one tear for him the day he dies. And that's a sad story of one child. And as we celebrate today Father's Day, many will feel sad, angry, abandoned, awkward, as they will think about their father. And sadly, many, many will never know who their father is. So we must keep all such children, all such people in our prayers as we think about Father and we celebrate Father's Day. On Sunday, 17th of September 2000, I became a father for the first time. And I was with Kavita in Central Middlesex Hospital in Wembley, as Abhishek entered in our lives. We both were joyful and very happy to hold him in our hands. And it is not a common practice in India to allow a father to be with his wife during the period of birth, but I was allowed here, and it was such a unique experience for me. After Abhishek's birth, I remember I was so happy. I came down running, finding a telephone booth. I didn't have a mobile that had a credit to call India straight away. I can do that now because there are a lot of apps and there are a lot of programs are there which allows you to call cheaply back home. But I remember finding a booth, going there, calling back home, speaking to my parent and giving them this news that you have a grandchild. And I was speaking to them. I clearly remember. I was crying like anything. I was crying like anything as I was speaking to my father and mother. And standing here now after 18 years of experience of being a father, I can tell you it is an adventurous and challenging business. It drains you, beats you up, gives up you moments of shame, discouragement, and disappointment, but also gives you many, many moments of victory and happiness and joy. Whenever I think of Father, I think of God as a perfect Heavenly Father. In Bible, when we read, there are more than 185 references where we can find God is seen and referred as a Father. I often wonder how God would have felt when he created Adam and he looked at him as his child. We read in Genesis chapter 2, God creates this person from the dust and he breathes his life into it. And there you go, a man becomes a living being. And when God looks at him, he says, it was very good. Bible tells us that when he looks at his creation, he says, it was very good. As we all know the story of creation, 6 days God did something, create something, and every day he looked back at his work and he said, it was good. Day one, he looked at his creation and he said it was good. Day two was good. Four, five, fifth, the day was good. Every time, every evening, he looked at it and said, it was good. But on the sixth day, when he created human being, he looks back and he says, it is very good. It was, God said it was very good. That's how God loved us. And seeing this all being so very good, what God must have felt when he came to know that this his loving child has disobeyed him and eaten the fruit that he has not meant to eat. I'm sure God must have felt very sad. He kept looking, we know that, and he kept asking, Adam, Adam, where are you? His child was lost. And I'm sure many parents are here, those who get panic when they go somewhere in the market sometime or shopping and they can't see their children for some time and they're panicked and they start calling their name. You know, where are you? Adam, where are you? Philip, where are you? John, where are you? And God, looking for his child, asking, where are you? And then we see in that God's love for humankind. And then the moment God knows that the man has fallen, he has committed sin, he immediately plans something beautiful. And he plans to restore his fallen child through his own son, Jesus Christ. And that's how he reconciles with us. In Old Testament, especially in Psalms, we see God and his people has been referred in many different ways, such as a shepherd and his sheep, a potter and the clay, a creator and creatures, a king and his people, and a judge and a violator of law. There are many comparisons and there are many kind of examples has been given between man and God's relationship. Until Jesus comes, things become different. Jesus is the one who relates with him as son. He calls him a father, not as a shepherd, as a sheep, but there is a different picture here now. Not a king and his people, but a father and a son. And the way Jesus was connected with his father is amazing. When we look into Gospels, when we read all four Gospels and see how obedient he was, how committed he was to his father's mission. Everything he did, whatever he said, everything was nailed back to the fact that he is my father. And whatever I'm doing because he has asked me to do. Luke, if you read Luke's gospel, a beautiful thing I've discovered that there in the beginning, when we see Jesus' life as it begins, we see his first words when he was a 12-year-old, when he was lost and then found in temple, speaking to all wise people, and his parents comes back and say, "Where were you? We were looking for you." And then the first words is recorded here, that young Jesus says to his father and mother, "Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" And same Jesus, who even 12-year-old was very mindful about his father's business and where his house was and what he meant to be and where he meant to be. And when same Jesus ends of his life on the cross of Calvary, at the end of his life, again he says, "Father, into your hand I commit my spirit." And that gives us a picture, a man, a young child, he grows up and gives his life. And all throughout his life we see how well connected he was with his father. Once even his disciple asked Philip, he said, "Show us the Father." And he said, "If you have seen me, you have seen Father, because Father and I, one." As a son, Jesus was totally immersed in his father's identity. And that is what Paul is reminding Ephesians in the chapter that we read earlier. That's what Paul is reminding us, to be connected to God totally as his children. In Ephesians chapter 1, we read, Paul calls them and reminds them that you are adopted. We all are adopted in God's family, and he is our father. We all have heavenly father, earthly fathers. Some of them, they're good. Some of them, they're not so good. And many, many don't know who their father is. But one thing, Paul makes it clear here, that we all have a heavenly father who is good, loving, kind, and caring. Once we were condemned to death due to the disobedience of Adam and Eve. But today, God has reconciled us. And God has brought us back in his Son. Through Jesus Christ, he has made us his children. And therefore, Paul tells all of us, you have been called back into the family. So he says, behave like his son and daughter. Behave like his son and daughter, because he has already given us the right to be his children. Secondly, Paul also tells us that the God who calls us to be his children, he is trustworthy. You can trust in him. He's not a man who can lie. Trust in him. He has definitely adopted you. Don't let devil trick you. Don't let Satan, you know, misguide you, saying that you are a sinner, you are a worthless person, you cannot do anything. How can you be related to God? You cannot be close to him. Paul reminds us that God loves us so immensely that there is nothing can separate us from his love. Not a sword, not a persecution, not height or a depth, he writes. There's nothing, is there anything, he says, will separate us from the love of God. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. So he says, God is trustworthy, trust in him. And thirdly, he tells about Father deserves our praise. The one who accepts us, receives us, also have done so that we may be able to praise him and bring glory to his name as the children. I'm sure every father feels proud about his children when they do something wonderful, when they do something remarkable, or even simply if they're just being obedient in simple things and faithful in little things. Similarly, God also would like us to be his obedient children, and through our obedience, he would like to get praised by other people. This is what Paul is trying to tell us from this. None of us deserves to be adopted by God's as a God's children, but God does it through Jesus Christ. We had no right to be his children, but now we have a privilege to become his children. And therefore, he says, he deserves our praise and our worship. Finally, Paul wants us to remind that we are blessed, we are chosen, we are made holy and blameless, we are predestined, we are adopted, we are loved, redeemed, forgiven, and sealed with God's fatherhood. The holy God of the universe purposefully adopts sinful creatures into his family so that we may trust in him and bring glory to his name like his son, Jesus Christ. The whole idea of Paul reminding Ephesians that they are children of God because he wanted them to behave like a children of God. In the beginning of chapter 1, he brings that idea that he has adopted us, he has done a favor on us, he has reconciled us. And then as he continued to emphasize on that in chapter 5, Paul brings out the real stuff and he says, yes, you are children, you are adopted, you have been privileged. And therefore, he writes in chapter 5, be imitators of your father. He writes, therefore, you are children now, so be imitators of God as beloved children. And walk in love, just as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us. An offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Let our lives be lived in such a way that may it be to God as an aroma, a fragrance, something that will please him and his people. Yes, in Christ it is our privilege to be his children. But that privilege also brings us on a greater responsibility, and that responsibility to behave like his children. As we celebrate Father's Day today, we know all of us want to be those who are parents, those who have a children or have a parental responsibility, all want us to be good. All fathers and mothers long to be good father and good mothers. But let me tell you, Paul reminds us that this all begins with becoming his obedient children. So may God bless us all and grant us all needed strength to be his obedient children so that we may be good fathers and mothers in years to come. Amen.